next for argument is Moon v. Colvin. Mr. Sellers.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, counsel. Letitia Moon seeks reversal or remand of a fundamentally flawed administrative law judge's decision denying her claim for disability benefits. My name is Joseph Sellers, appearing on behalf of Ms. Moon today. This case is straightforward. The ALJ's decision is logically inconsistent and defies meaningful review. At step two of the sequential evaluation, the ALJ found that Ms. Moon's migraines were a severe impairment. That finding, by definition, requires that the ALJ found that her migraines caused significant work-related functional limitations. And the commissioner's own rulings require an ALJ's RFC assessment, that is, the assessment of the residual functional capacity, to account for all limitations imposed by a claimant on a claimant by her impairments. However, the ALJ's RFC assessment accounted for no limitations attendant to Ms. Moon's migraines, despite the fact that he found them to be severe. Without any explanation, these contradictory findings defy meaningful review and require...
What is the contradiction? He did discuss the pills she takes.
Yes, he discussed the pills she took in his credibility assessment, but he still found that she was credible enough that her migraines caused significant limitations. Yet there are no limitations in his RFC that can be attached to the migraines. That's the contradiction.
They caused limitations. Where did you find that the migraine headaches were a significant limitation by themselves, as opposed to part of a combination with other limitations?
I think his analysis, read through the plain language, would show that, Your Honor. At step two,
where did he find that concretely?
It's the third page of his decision, which is the 52nd page of the appendix, Your Honor. Finding of fact number three. He said that the claimant has the following severe impairments: lumbar facet hypertrophy. With mild narrowing.
That certainly sounds to me like a statement that these impairments collectively are severe. It doesn't sound like each one of them independently is severe.
Imagine,
just look at what's in this list. Mild sleep apnea is in this list. Do you think mild sleep apnea is severe all by itself?
I think by the definition of the regulations, mild sleep apnea can cause significant limitations in functioning, namely daytime somnolence, difficulty concentrating, sleepiness during the day, the tendency to fall asleep at your desk. Those are all work-related functions that could be caused by mild sleep apnea. But even if the ALJ found that the migraines were only severe as part of a combination, that means that those migraines contributed to that combination of limitations. But the RFC, in the end, does not have any limitations which are attached to the migraines. So it's still inconsistent. There's still a chunk of the limitations at one finding and no chunk of the limitations at the next finding. And there's no explanation for how the ALJ got from point A to point B. And that's why this decision defies meaningful review. Whether it's part of a combination of severe impairments or a severe impairment on its own.
Counsel, the ALJ did address the issue of noncompliance with recommended treatments for the migraines. Why do you think that treatment, what do you think the ALJ's treatment was not sufficient?
The ALJ rejected Ms. Moon's explanation for her noncompliance, namely that she was afraid of potential side effects.
Okay, so he's not ignoring the issue of noncompliance or the reasons for it.
Correct. He did not ignore it. But his reason for rejecting her explanation is illogical. He said she never got side effects, therefore her fear of side effects was unfounded. But she can't know ahead of time that she's not going to get side effects. Her fear was of potential side effects.
Well, the government makes the point, if you're really suffering from headaches so severe that they are disabling, how is it reasonable not even to try the prescribed medication?
At the point in time when she was prescribed amitriptyline and Wellbutrin, which was before she
was back in 2005?
Correct.
So this is several years before the issue, the time it issued here.
Exactly. She was still working with the headaches. After that, the record shows that they got worse. She told her doctors they got worse. She provided sworn testimony that they got worse. And when they started getting worse, she started taking the medication that was prescribed. Imitrex, Zomig, Vicodin, none of them helped. They partially ameliorated the symptoms, but they never took them away. So the government's argument, while there's some reasoning behind it, is misplaced in terms of time and relevance. But even if this court upheld the ALJ's credibility finding, we still have the logical inconsistency between point A and point B, because regardless of whether the ALJ improperly found her less than credible, he found her credible enough to find that the migraines cause limitations, yet never accounted for those limitations without any explanation. And that noncompliance issue is only one part of the ALJ's credibility assessment with regard to the migraines. The other portions were that her headaches occurred while she was working and that her MRI was unremarkable. But neither of those withstand scrutiny either. As we discussed, her headaches got worse after she stopped working. And the unremarkable MRI is of little probative value, as it's not the only, in fact, it's not meant to find the cause of headaches. It's meant to rule out potential other causes. It doesn't diagnose migraines. It just rules out other causes like strokes and tumors. And the government points to all of the credibility factors that the ALJ just spoke about, but even those were flawed in terms of the ALJ's analysis. The government argues that the ALJ did not place undue weight on Ms. Moon's activities of daily living, but it's unclear from the judge's decision what weight, if any, he put on those ADLs. And when it's considered in light of the facts that those activities were extremely limited, that involved shopping with a grocery, with an electronic cart at the grocery store, washing dishes while sitting down while folding the bed because of pain, placing any weight on those activities in order to deny Ms. Moon is placing undue weight on them. With regards to the receipt of unemployment benefits, we've never argued that a judge can't consider the receipt of unemployment benefits. We just argue that it's unclear how much weight the judge put on them and why. He never investigated any potential explanation for receipt of unemployment benefits, so his knee-jerk reaction to hold that against Ms. Moon was unfounded. The same with her application for jobs after her alleged onset date. And the fact that her medications partially alleviated her symptoms is of little import when it's clear from the record that they never took those limitations away. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sellers. Mr. Kim?
May it please the Court, my name is Joo-Hee Kim, and I represent the Acting Commissioner of Social Security. The ALJ's RFC finding absolutely includes limitations relating to Moon's headaches and is supported by the opinion evidence. Specifically, the ALJ gave significant weight to Dr. Kim's opinion, who found that Moon should never climb ladders, ropes, and scaffolds, and should only occasionally stoop and crouch.
What does that have to do with migraine headaches that keep her in bed for several days, hours, and, or several days?
Well, I think if they affect I don't have a common sense. Well, I do believe that they make sense if someone...
There are plenty of reasons why you would not want Ms. Moon to be climbing ladders, ropes, and scaffolds at work, right?
Yes.
Probably not stooping very much or crouching. She has all kinds of physical limitations, and that's accommodated presumably in the sedentary with sit-stand option, etc., parts of the residual functional capacity. But he mentions a history of frequent migraines, but I don't see anything in here that actually addresses the issue. And then the ALJ relies on, was it Dr. Francis, who just noted that history and said there's not enough information to assess this. So I don't see how we really have a substantial evidence to before us to evaluate this.
I disagree. The ALJ absolutely did not err in relying on the only functional limitations provided, specific functional limitations provided related to Moon's headaches. I think it's entirely reasonable to read Dr. Kim's opinion as tying his functional, the postural limitations he found to Moon's headaches. The form is clear. It asks for explanations to support the limitations above, and in that section he wrote, he specifically stated her history of frequent migraines and prescription for Imitrex. I think it is common sense that someone stooping and crouching both involve bending forward and downward. Someone with headaches could easily, understandably, be aggravated or have their headaches aggravated.
Did the administrative law judge say that these migraine drugs were effective?
The administrative judge did find that, credit Moon's testimony that Motrin and Imitrex helped.
I know, that's vague, though. Helped could still be severe.
That's true. That's why he looked at a variety of factors. He wasn't required to...
Like what? I don't understand. What bearing on the severity of the... What's the evidence that the migraines aren't severe, even after she takes these pills?
It's not that they're not severe. It's a question of what kind of, whether or not they require greater limitations than Dr. Kim found. And
well, I don't understand. If they're severe, can you actually work with severe migraines?
Well, the definition of severe under the regulations is any impairment or combination of impairment which significantly limits a person's ability to do basic work functions. So just because someone has a quote-unquote severe impairment doesn't mean that they're unable to work.
What is the evidence that her migraine headaches are not severe enough to impair her ability to work?
Well, the ALJ relied on Dr. Kim's opinion, who provided a medical opinion guiding him on what kind of limitations would be appropriate for the headaches. He then relied on a number of credibility factors.
That's the rope climbing, and are those the limitations you're talking about?
Yes, and I think if it was Moon's burden to present additional evidence establishing greater limitations, she didn't produce medical evidence establishing that greater limitations were required. Dr. Francis's opinion, as was mentioned.
What about her? I'm bothered by her weight. 412 pounds. I don't think I've ever seen a person or weighed anything like that. But she's only 5'6". What does a person look like who weighs 412 pounds and is 5'6"?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. And Moon didn't...
Shouldn't that receive a lot of weight in determining whether a person is able to do anything?
Absolutely. That wasn't raised
what
on appeal.
What did the administrative law just say about her weight?
That issue wasn't raised.
She was obese. He didn't seem to derive any implications as to how the obesity works in with the migraines. And now, her joint problems and so on presumably are related or caused by the obesity. But is that it? She just has some joint problems and some headaches, and the 412 pounds is sort of incidental?
She alleged 11.
Is there any per se weight that makes you unemployable? I mean, makes you, disabled within the meaning of the act?
I don't believe there's anything in the regulations or rulings that necessarily say that someone who is more...
It used to be a listing. It no longer is.
Yes.
I believe it's the case. So.
And I believe there is a Social Security ruling that gives guidance that Dr. Francis cited, and I don't think that that supports that just because someone has a greater body mass index, you must assume, or that necessarily translates to greater limitations. But I'm not really prepared to talk about obesity because that wasn't an issue challenge raised on appeal. The issue was migraines, and here the ALJ relied on the only opinion to provide specific functional limitations, and if Moon thought greater restrictions were required, it was her burden to present that evidence. She did testify that to testimony suggesting that she should not, she couldn't work 2 to 3 days a week, but the ALJ appropriately cited numerous factors that tended to suggest that her allegations of disabling limitations were not credible. He considered the fact that she had a number of examples in the record where he recognized that she had a history of migraines going back to 2005, but also pointed out that in 2005 there were two examples where she refused to take migraine medication at all, and while at the simultaneously requesting a letter from her doctor saying that she should work less because of fatigue.
And that's 4 or 5 years before she stops working, 6 years before the hearing, right?
Yes.
And there's evidence of more severe headaches in the meantime. She's getting prescriptions. She's taking them. And those are what the medical records and her testimony indicate, right?
I disagree that there's evidence of more severe headaches. You're right that she does start taking medication after the alleged onset date, which is effective. She takes Imitrex and also testifies to taking Motrin, and I believe, that's her testimony to those drugs. But with respect to the claim that there's evidence of worsening, the only evidence that Moon cites to in the medical record is a December 2008 opinion or a medical report where Moon says that she discontinued birth control pills because they made her migraines worse. That doesn't really support or show that the ALJ failed to recognize significant evidence of worsening. It shows that she stopped taking a medication that caused worsening.
She's taking birth control pills?
Well, she stopped, according to this record, because they caused migraine headache.
Doesn't she have children weighing 412 pounds?
She has one. Counsel, let me just ask you, I'm troubled. The ALJs gave some weight to the fact that that Ms. Moon said she was ready, willing, and able to work and was applying for unemployment compensation benefits, looking for work. And I guess I understand the technical contradiction there, but I'm really troubled by giving that much weight at all. When you're talking about somebody who is not employed, is not receiving disability benefits, and may never receive disability benefits, but has to keep body and soul together and take care of herself and her daughter. I guess I don't quite see the contradiction in human and practical terms there.
I think, as Moon pointed out, the totality of the evidence has to be considered. Here, she applies and makes the statement that you mentioned, the inconsistent statement. Tells her Dr. Shinner, psychiatrist, she lost her job not because of disability, but because of lack of work, and well, is still happened, continuing to happened, apply.
What happened when she lost her job was that she missed some days because she felt too bad, right? And then she got replaced. So, okay.
The commissioner requests that you affirm. Okay.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Sellers? Anything further?
The government argues that the opinion evidence shows that there were limitations resulting from Moon's migraines that were consistent with the ALJ's RFC, but the opinion evidence is actually equivocal at best. Even Dr. Kim's opinion cites migraines and Imitrex. There's no indication whether or not her inability to climb ladders is related to the migraines, the obesity, or the fact that she might get dizzy or sleepy on Imitrex and fall from a height. Similarly, Dr. Francis later opined that it was unclear how much her migraines would contribute to an inability to work. And he also said, to your point, Your Honor, that obesity is the main problem here. He agreed with the limitations Dr. Kim opined, but from the record, it appears that he thought the postural limitations were a result of the obesity, and she is large. I represented her on a following case, and she is squat, Your Honor.
How old is your daughter?
When I represented her at the subsequent hearing, I believe she was under 10.
Oh, really?
But that's to the best of my recollection.
You said there was a subsequent hearing?
Yes, Your Honor.
For later, and any outcome yet?
She was approved.
Okay. So this is only about back benefits at this point?
Yes, it's for a finite period. And the ALJ gave both of those opinions the same amount of weight, and that creates an evidentiary ambiguity, evidentiary conflict with the ALJ's narrative discussion with regard to the RFC, failed to clear up in any way that a court or Ms. Moon could understand. That is why, in addition to the logical inconsistency, the ALJ's decision defies meaningful review, and that is why the ALJ's decision should be reversed and remanded. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ms. Sellers and Ms. Kemp. And the court will be in recess.